950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in. Beautiful August day. Start of the August vacation period. Well, Brett, you and I aren't on vacation like everybody else seems to be. We must be the guys that have to work all day.
Well, that August weather we had this morning was not pretty at all, at least where I was. I got a bunch of hail.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I like to be a guy that you know, feels like I can trust my technology. So I looked at the weather forecast today. I used a little app. I used weather.com. I looked at it this morning here on August 3rd at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and it said 0% chance of rain. 0%, which, you know, I never really believe because, you know, 0% is awfully definitive. Left the sunroof on my car open by 11 o'clock. Seats are full of water.
Oh, no.
Just the worst, you know. And I'd totally forgotten that I had my sunroof open. And there you have it. So I'll tell you, that weather came in. It was cold and it was rainy. I don't know if anybody else got trapped and caught, but the weather people said no rain. And then it rained.
Rain and huge hail where I was, at least, or a lot of heavy hail.
Oh, is that right?
It probably went down for a good 15 minutes of some really heavy hail, even some winds as well.
What the hail? It was hailing.
Yeah, there was hail. Yeah, I'm kind of in the Minnetonka, Chaska area. That's where I was this morning. And yeah, we were getting some pretty good sized hail out there.
Well, so we're back at it. We're back at the summer weather experiences. Well, it's August, and you know, normally on this time it's all sleepy news time. It's when all the news people take off, they go away. But boy, in the political stream that's happening right now with these elections, and especially these special or these primaries that are coming up here in Minnesota, it's all the talk of the political class. You know, there's so much happening on both sides, both on the Republican side of in the gubernatorial race, who's going to be the standard bearer for the Republicans, and also you know, all this action on the Democratic side. It's I guess it, you know, for people who care about electoral politics like you and I do, this is fun and important and meaningful. But boy, it's stressful, especially for me around this Tim Pawlenty thing, because it feels like such throwback, flashback, and like a sequel to a horror movie that we're going to have to again have a conversation whether the perspective of Tim Pawlenty is something that the rest of us in this state should have to deal with.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I've seen some of his TV ads airing recently, and well, I should say the anti-Pawlenty ads, and everyone, even Jeff Johnson, is going after what he did to education. There's just so much negativity you could throw against Tim Pawlenty. Of the 35W bridge, you have huge budget deficits. I mean, he was just a disaster for those 8 very long years.
Yeah, it was really something, and it was shocking. It was like shockingly bad to me, and I think that the future could only be worse. Him being out of the public eye and refining whatever his attitude is. I think he presents himself because he's a nice guy, and you know, he's a person of deeply held faith. I don't doubt that. But the conclusions this guy draws for a nice guy and a person who says, you know, I have these deeply held convictions are just so, to my mind, so wrongheaded and so off-putting. It's simply incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does present him that way, and he does, yeah, like to come off as the nice guy. I think wasn't he big on, you know, dropping the puck at Wild games as well, trying to come off as Mr. Minnesotan? Yeah, he's very good at doing that.
Yeah, and look, he is. Like, he does represent a certain Minnesota criteria and a certain Minnesota attitude, and there certainly are people who, you know, if they heard us talking like this, they'd be like, are they talking about the Tim Pawlenty that I know? Because they just think the world of him. But after – I think any politician that serves in office and then wants to come back after a sit out and run for the same seat, and I know, you know, Democrats and Republicans both do this, I just find it to be something that is disqualifying to me in its very essence. I think you're done. Like, sit it out and move on to something else.
I'm still curious as to why he's even running, because he was making a ton of money in that Wall Street lobbying gig, and I just don't know why he would even run in this political climate. I mean, If it were favorable for Republicans, I could see him coming back in, but I just don't see any scenario where he could win a general election. Of course, that doesn't mean don't vote. Still, make sure he doesn't get in power, but I'm just confused as to why he came back.
Yeah, and what's your sense? Do you think he has a real shot at the Republican nomination, or do you think he's not going to care whether he gets wins the primary or not?
I did see some polling data. There hasn't been a ton of polling in these primary races, but there was one I saw from what was this one? Yeah, this is an NBC News Marist poll, and he's actually up pretty big in the Republican primary, 51-32 over Jeff Johnson. Which, if you're above that magic 50% mark, it really doesn't necessarily matter what the undecideds think, unlike in the Democratic race where there's still 37% undecideds, where it's actually Lori Swanson pulling ahead with only 28. So very competitive on the Democratic side. But, yeah, the GOP side, I'm just surprised he's got 51% of the vote. I attended the state GOP convention working for Mike McEntee for the Uptake streaming that, and the entire base out there was so anti-Tim Pawlenty. I came out of that thinking he's got no chance at the nomination. People just don't like him. Yeah. Just
the base the base that would show up at that didn't like him. What do you think is driving that? What's their
I honestly think
not extremist enough? They think he's too middle of the road,
too milquetoast, milquetoast corporate. Yep, that's the sense I got. In fact, we even have had some callers, including some of our frequent conservatives who don't like Pawlenty either. Yeah, they just think he's too corporate. I'd almost say he's kind of like their local Hillary Clinton to Republicans, kind of like what Democrats almost thought of her, where, you know.
You should tag him with that.
A big name candidate that people just aren't really necessarily thrilled by.
Yeah, yeah. It's well, what do you think about Jeff Johnson? Do you have any opinion? I mean, I can't seem to muster up any anything positive to think about these Republicans in this day and age, especially these guys who like somehow want to act like they're Donald Trump enough, you know, like they're comfortable acting all Trump like, trying to court in that vote. And the fact that they're not running as Republicans and saying, look, Donald Trump does not represent the attitude and the morals of the Republican Party. I think in Minnesota, that's the kind of attitude that could make a real run. I don't think in this general election there's any chance that a statewide Republican's got a shot at winning it all. And I don't know why these guys wouldn't at least have the moral fortitude to show the fact that you know, Donald Trump is a disaster, and especially a disaster for the Republican brand.
Oh yeah, and Jeff Johnson is going all in for Donald Trump. In fact, Jeff Johnson actually had a debate this morning with Tim Pawlenty, and it kind of turned into an argument over who loves Donald Trump more between Jeff Johnson and Tim Pawlenty. Johnson, he didn't quite go as far as saying that he's seeking Donald Trump's endorsement, but he definitely left the door open to that, and they got into some big arguments about who loves him more. In fact, Pawlenty actually threw this at him. He said, to be blunt about it, Jeff called him a jackass first in reference to Donald Trump. So these two guys are definitely going at it to see who supports Donald Trump more, because I think that's what it comes down to in this primary election. And as we talked a little bit on the last show, how do you run back to the center after this primary, after embracing Trump so much?
It's just amazing. It's an amazing thing to think that that modern day Republicans in Minnesota would be saying, I want to embrace Donald Trump even deeper than my opponent, and they're running for statewide office. There's something going on. There's some calculation they're making. I don't mean something going on in some like QAnon conspiracy theory sense. I mean, there's something going on in their calculation by which that makes sense. And it's not, I want to win the election. It can't be that. It's got to be something else.
I think it's just because Republicans have embraced Trump so much. I don't know if you can be anti-Trump and have any sort of shot at getting the nomination, because even though it might not necessarily win in the general election, well, if you don't even win the nomination, you're out already. So it's kind of a rock and a hard place, I think, for
Yeah, I guess. But I think there's so many. I mean, the polling, the most recent polling on even Republicans in this state, their statewide, their feeling about Trump is not positive. Right. I mean, maybe the kind of Republican narrative and tax cuts and so on. But Donald Trump himself is a real turnoff for most people. That it just doesn't, I don't know, doesn't compute to me. Hey, what do you think about Al Franken? Do you think he's dipping back in for something? Do you think he's trying to queue up a political return?
Yeah, well, they always say time always kind of heals all wounds. And I would have to think, you know, if he were to run again in 2020 or 2022, maybe he would have a chance because people's memories are kind of short. People like to forgive. And Al kind of dropped a hint when he had an interview earlier this week on another radio station saying, you know, he hasn't thought a whole lot about it, but he misses the job. He loved doing that job, and he loved his job as senator. Just the question would be what could he possibly run for if he came back? Because ideally, Democrats would win the seat in 2018. Obviously, if, God forbid, Karen Housley became a senator and defeated either Richard Painter or Tina Smith, then maybe Al would run in 2020. But I just don't know what office he could possibly run for.
Yeah, that's the problem for for anyone who's seeking an office when you're in a state in which you support the current set of representatives. It really, well, as I learned on a show a while back, you can run for any congressional seat. You don't even have to live there. So maybe maybe Al just wants to become a congressperson and he's just going to pick a seat and just go win it. Cause there's an awful lot of seats that he could run for and probably win to be a congressman. I'm not sure he's kind of, hey, when we come back after the break, you want to talk a little bit about this Painter and, this Painter race and how he's being treated by the DFL. Cause I think that's a really interesting story.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, hey, Doug Padgett here, AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Brett and I talking local politics now at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk with astrophysicist Paul Wallace. So cue up your science questions because it's Friday. And running with dime
in my What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Get your windows washed before the fall rush. Blue Sky Surfaces' final sale before fall is this month only, where you can get up to 25 window panes washed inside and out for only $129. Call 651-447-4484. No matter the job size, August is the time to save money on your window cleaning. So beat the fall rush and take advantage of Blue Sky Surfaces' August sale prices. Call 651-447-4484. That's Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hey, welcome back to AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's that drive time hour, 421, and summer is here. Lots of people on vacation. I follow a lot of news, and you can watch it on the news when all these people go on vacation, and you find yourself saying, where are the people I like to listen to? Where are my regulars? What are they off doing? Well, your regulars here at AM 950, right here in your radio. And Brett and I are in doing our jobs, doing our thing, and we can vacation later after we save the democracy is what I'm saying this in this this calendar year.
I'm not sure we're ever going to go on vacation if that's the case.
That's a good point. I should set the standards a little lower.
Yeah.
this Richard Painter thing has really stirred up and become quite a quite an issue. And I know a lot of listeners are going to be familiar with him, but he's seeking the nomination to run to be supported by the Democratic Party. And I'm careful with my language there because apparently he is now in an interview this last week said that even though he wants to run against he's in this primary against Tina Smith to seek the Democratic nomination. He's was unwilling in a recent interview to call himself a Democrat, which is kind of unusual because he was on this show a few weeks ago, and I asked him that very question, and he basically said, "Yeah, I am, and have been for a long time, and it was now time for me to catch up to that label." That's how I took his answer, but it sounds like he's pulled that back a bit and has said that while he doesn't want to claim himself to be a Democrat, he's got that Bernie Sanders kind of tone going about him. He will caucus with the Democrats if he's a senator. So he wants to kind of have that independent space where he's seeking the endorsement of a party that he doesn't use as his self-identifier. It's a quirky place to be. Brett, what are your thoughts on that? Do you have an opinion about it, or do you think that that's going to break a particular way across the deciding populace?
Yeah, when I heard his interview with you, I thought the same thing. Yeah, it sounded like he was pretty firm saying he was in the Democratic Party, but that's an interesting angle to look at it, where maybe when he says now, apparently, that he's not necessarily a Democrat, maybe he does mean that more, not necessarily, and I'm the independent middle of the road guy, but I'm more an independent in the Bernie Sanders sense, where I don't call myself a Democrat, but I certainly caucus with the parties. It's an interesting take on that, and possibly an interesting follow-up question if we have the chance to speak with Richard Painter later on. I know we've had him on several times on the station, and of course, always extend the invitation to Tina Smith as well. But yeah, there's
over
there's,
and over,
over and over.
Yeah, I feel like a kid with a junior high crush and just can't get an answer. Like, what do we have to do to get this woman's attention and have her say, just even say no, right? Even say, nope, don't want to talk to you. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. To be fair as well, we've invited Amy Klobuchar on the show. I know we've at least have heard from them that they are trying to line something up. She, of course, is very busy in D.C. And, of course, that's a defense for Tina Smith as well when you're busy running for Senate and, of course, being a senator as well. Understandable. But, yeah, it'd be nice to talk to you.
Can I interrupt you on that and just say if you're running for Senate and you represent the people of Minnesota and there is one radio station that calls itself the Progressive Voice of Minnesota and you don't have time to squeeze in a 10-minute conversation with those people – I think your priorities are a little bit out of whack.
That's a fair point.
Like that, it's not like we're calling from Kansas and they say we need to do the bidding of candidates or of the constituency in Minnesota. This is quite literally the constituency of Minnesota. I went down to Senator Klobuchar's office myself to ask for a conversation. So I don't know that I give that kind of space. I think what's happening is that Tina Smith is playing it safe, and she just thinks Richard Painter doesn't have a chance, and she's holding all of her conversation, all of her public statements for her engagement in the general election after this. I think she's looking past him and isn't even willing to. While he's grabbing the headlines, I think she's saying, "I'm going to stay out of the spotlight." That's what I think is happening.
I kind of agree with that strategy too, because if you've seen her TV ads, yeah, they're very much. I'm on a listening tour to see what Minnesotans think are important, not necessarily taking any firm positions. And I do wonder though if she is starting to somewhat pay attention to Richard Painter in a more indirect way through the party. Of course, Tina Smith is the DFL endorsed candidate, so she of course gets some party support in that sense. As we had the party chair Ken Martin calling Richard Painter essentially a wolf in sheep's clothing for not deciding to come out and say he is a Democrat. Then, and the point I want to make about this is, if this was like a 70-30 or an 80-20 split in terms of polling, Ken Martin probably not going to be making those comments about Richard Painter because they would just be confident. So I kind of think this race is closer than they might anticipate, but they might not want Tina Smith doing any direct attacks. That's kind of the sense I'm getting. I just steal a Kerman Cain line. I have no facts to back this up. That's kind of my hunch right there.
That's a great line.
I stole that from Norman Goldman. He uses that one all the time. But that's kind of my sense about that, is that they really wouldn't be acknowledging Richard Painter if he weren't a threat to them. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out, because while we do have polling in just about every statewide race, we don't have any polling in terms of Richard Painter versus Tina Smith. I just can't believe no one's released any polling. So I really have no idea where that race even stands.
So a week from Tuesday, that primary is going to happen. And I guess that's going to say a lot, because if it's a big turnout thing, and a lot of my Bernie Sanders supporting friends feel like that they could get behind Richard Painter, you know, partly because some of those Bernie Sanders, it's hard for me to speak for them because sometimes I don't really understand them, and they're different enough from one another that I don't want to be overly painted with too broad of a stroke here. But with the ones that I've talked to about this and have said that Painter's their point of interest in this. In this primary, their point is they just don't want the kind of establishment Democrats that they see in Tina Smith, right? So what they like about Painter is that he's not that, and he's got that fire, and he is a strong talking male candidate, you know, who says we're going to impeach Trump. We're going to go hard. So I think he's stirring up a lot of attention. And I could imagine that a big turnout of a certain constituency on election day could be enough to tip him over the edge.
I think it could be enough to tip him over the edge, too. And we have no data to really show where this race stands. But I have a feeling it's going to be closer than people think, which leaves all the more reason, if you're a big supporter of Richard Painter, get out and vote for him. Or if you're a big supporter of Tina Smith, make sure you get out and vote for her as well, because I think this thing's going to come down to the wire.
Yeah, I think it's. I think there's a lot of, and hopefully, now I don't know that this is what happened in the 2016 election, but hopefully, what this does is includes more people in the Democratic side of the process leading up to November 6th, because November 6th is the big day. It's a big day across the country. It's a big day for especially for flipping the House and putting some kind of a restraint or a possibility of removing from office Donald Trump. It really matters. And of course, across our whole system of electoral politics here in Minnesota, it's going to matter at a whole number of levels. And my hope is that whatever comes out of this tussle a week from Tuesday, that it keeps people engaged and brings them more into the process and encourages them all that much more, because there's a couple of congressional seats that I think have a really good chance of flipping from red to blue, and anything that takes away from that would be really disappointing. I hope it doesn't break people's hearts.
I agree.
It seemed like it happened in 2016.
Yeah, I was going to say, between Richard Painter, Tina Smith, if your candidate doesn't win, no matter which one, still make sure you vote for that DFL or come in the fall, because it'd be a huge improvement over Karen Housley in the Senate.
Yeah, it would in the Senate, and it certainly would encourage people in their House races too, and in their state races. Remember, your vote is not just your Facebook status update; it's your tool to affect our candidates. So, AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, back with our astrophysicist after the break.
No powder flash blinded the eye. Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on some moving, artful, and enlightening Minnesota Fringe shows in the area this weekend through next. Each year, Minnesota Fringe works with more than 1,000 artists to create a performing arts event extravaganza. Their 25th festival runs August 2nd through the 12th. Come and see a powerful story about survival and resilience in the face of indifference. Storyteller Monica Dynasiu tells an uplifting story of her family of refugees as they survived flight from their war-torn home. Tossed in a sea of ink by the gods' careless whims, animation, storytelling, and live art come together to paint a picture that is hilarious, heartbreaking, and mostly true. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to Doctors Without Borders. Aphrodite's Refugees will be performed in Rarig's experimental stage starting tonight at 10 p.m., with performances going all week until Sunday, August 12th. For more information, please visit www.minnesotafringe.org and search Aphrodite's Refugees. Leaders, lovers, killers, mothers, rebels, prophets. Following the structure of medieval mystery or biblical morality plays, The Women's Mysteries takes the often skewed and brief stories of the great women in the Judeo-Christian Bible and adapts, deepens, and expands them into a rich, honest, and powerful production. Using movement, storytelling, and song, this diverse ensemble of eight women plus bring their personal experience and contemporary vantage points to these epic tales. The Women's Mysteries connects the challenges of modern women to ancient archetypes, and ultimately, they continually unfold stories of these multifaceted identities and the collective power of women. Performances will take place at the Minsky Theater in Minneapolis starting tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m. through Sunday, August 12th. It includes some violence and adult themes. To read more about it and to reserve your tickets, go to www.minnesotafringe.org and look up this production, The Women's Mysteries, and also Aphrodite's Refugees. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Minnesota has a lot going on this summer, and I don't want to miss a moment of it. However, my carpets remind me of the good times later. That's why I call Zero Res. I'm not willing to waste a beautiful summer weekend washing rugs, so don't worry, because the carpet cleaning heroes at Zero Res can help. So schedule your cleaning today by calling 952-ZERO-RES, or you can book online at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Don't forget to ask for the special AM 950 listener pricing. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward. It spells the same.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, we've made it to another Friday, so we'll do our regular Friday features. We also have senior legal analyst time. The Manafort trial continues, but also, is there another Mueller indictment on this Friday? Join me.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 71. Saturday, chance for showers and storms with a high near 80. Sunday, more rain with a high near 84. And Monday, partly cloudy with a high near 83.
Nightingale is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They offer something for everyone's taste buds, from seafood to unbelievable vegetarian options. Plus, they also focus on locally sourced food and beer. Nightingale is located at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. Find more details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Science is real, from the Big Bang to DNA. Science is real, from evolution.
Hey, you might know it. It's Friday here on the 4 to 5 o'clock AM 950 show. That means astrophysicist Paul Wallace gets to join us. And Paul, appreciate you being on again today.
You're very welcome.
Hey, people have already queued up some questions that we have for you. But today we're going to talk a little bit about some of these science conspiracies that that can often become part of our overall narrative when we think about science. And for a lot of us who care about a progressive way of life, and like hanging right over my shoulder, if people watch on the live feed, I have this little mantra that hangs up there that says, science is real, black lives matter, no human is illegal, love is love, and a woman's rights are human rights. They're kind of a mantra about things that matter to me and are important. And the first one of those is that science is real. But people know it's real, but first off, they don't always get it. And there's a lot of these science conspiracies that you're aware of.
Yeah.
How are you thinking about
that? Yeah, there are. And it seems to be on the uptick. Along with all these other conspiracies, did you read about that QAnon business this week?
I did. Yes, awfully confusing.
Yeah, I've tried to make sense of that, but I've really not been able to. But like a lot of conspiracy theories, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And science is not immune to conspiracy theories. You know, I can think of four off the top of my head, and you may or may not think of these as conspiracy theories.
Let's hear them.
But they kind of are. And one of them, I've got four in mind. One of them is creationism, you know, young earth creationism, you know, Ken Ham style ark, you know, the guy who built the ark down in Kentucky. That's one, sort of, you know, the earth was formed 6,000 years ago. Another one is the anti-vax crowd. The anti-vaxxers, the idea being that the vaccinations cause autism and so forth. Climate denial, you know, those who say that, no, in fact, there's no evidence that human beings are creating the warming climate on the planet. And the last one, and the one that I think is actually the most recent is that I've noticed, is the flat earth people.
That one is amazing, isn't it?
That one's really – that's actually, in my mind, the most interesting of the four.
Yeah. Well, let's start there, because that feels like it's the most clearly, you know, like that is really – that feels like such a stretch for people. And I have talked to flat earthers before, and it was a surreal experience in the conversation.
I don't think I've ever actually spoken to one before.
Well, it was everything you would imagine. And here's the thing about all four of those conspiracy theory that I'm comfortable calling them that, is that all of these, the people I've talked to who hold all those views, their argument for the view that they hold is an argument from science. So very rarely, I've never talked to anyone who holds those views that has said, I don't believe science. They've said, no, you don't, you're not paying attention. They've told me, you're not paying attention to the most recent science, or there's a number of scientific approaches, discoveries, understandings that have been muted, have been kept quiet, and that people that you don't know the truth, and that's the heart of that kind of a conspiracy.
Right.
When it comes
nobody
to science,
nobody says, you know, your mantra notwithstanding, nobody really is going to come out and just say science isn't real.
Right.
What they're going to do is say you're not doing science right, or you've just been duped, or whatever, you know. But, you know, the thing about the first three, you know, climate denial, creationism, and the anti-vax movement, I can kind of see a very normal kind of understandable human motivation behind those.
Yeah.
Like in
the
case of creationism, they're trying to keep their view of God and of the world intact. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Right,
they got this worldview, and they're trying to keep it intact. And in the case of the anti-vaxxers, you know, their children have autism, and they're looking for an answer, as anybody would want. You know, do you want to find an answer? In the case of climate deniers, you know, they have some economic stake in the problem. You know, and so they're trying to hold on to some economic, you know, something that benefits them economically. Mm-hmm. And but the thing about flat earthers is that I can't really figure out what they get out of it. I can't figure out, I can't see a, you know, there's no really obvious sort of motivation and sort of what's their payoff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
not only
the ones that
I've streamed, but like, what are you getting out of that? Out of saying the Earth is flat.
Yeah, and they had an argument for it. It was really hard for me to take it seriously, so I can't remember that. But I do remember being feeling that the thing that was most poignant for them was, it's just simply not true that the Earth is something like round or an orb of some sort. And because it's not true, it really matters that people just stop believing nonsense. Like that was the heart of the argument. And so I was saying, like, no, it's just absolutely not true that the Earth is flat. And they're like, no, it's absolutely not true that it's not. And all of the data shows that. You have to rig the data to end up with another story. And it's built on like a fundamental understanding of truth, right?
They get out of it is a sense that they're in the know,
that they
know the truth, and you know the authorities don't.
I think that's kind of it. And this is where I think the political angle, which is what I always like to turn these conversations to, feels so close, because I think Donald Trump was the person that I think as a political candidate, that's the most common conspiracy theorist sort of that we've ever had in any kind of public space of elected office.
Sure. Yes. At least on the national level. Yes.
And his crowd has been big in that vaccine group. In fact, I know a number of people who are highly progressive in a lot of their social thoughts. And the reason they supported Donald Trump was that Donald Trump and his kids were anti-vaccine because they believe that it causes autism. And it really captured that group up. And I thought that would maybe be a small cluster of people, but turns out it was quite robust.
Wow,
a group of people who supported
part of the Trump allure. I never thought of that angle before.
Yeah, and they got to it by they also got to it through religious freedom, saying that religious people should not have the government tell them that they have to poison their kids with vaccines, because the vaccines are a way that the government is causing harm to us. So it's mixed in with that kind of libertarian religious liberty and this view of science. So science is being used and played off as if it's that the facts are on their side. And that's the curious thing about conspiracy theories when they come to science, right? Is that they all think that the science is on their side. How do you think that as a
That's exactly right. And I spent a day researching Flat Earth online, and there was I actually looked at a couple of these videos, because YouTube is a real hotbed for this stuff, and I spent about an hour and a half reviewing this one video, trying to figure out what the science, because they were making an argument, laying it out step by step, the observations this guy had made. It had to do with being in Hawaii and seeing other Hawaiian islands 90 miles away and all this. And it took me a long time to figure out exactly what was wrong with the guys. I mean, I'm a PhD physicist, and it still took me about an hour to figure out exactly where the guy went wrong.
Wow.
So people who aren't, it really is, people who want to believe the Earth is flat will find what they want.
Hey, Paul, we've got another Paul from Edina that's got a comment about flat Earth and Lake on Mars. Hey Paul from Edina.
this is a great conversation.
Thanks.
The thing that I'm wondering is, on the flat Earth people, what do they say is on the edge? Or what do they say is under the Earth? Or is it just
I've never heard an answer for that. I have heard an answer to the first question. Oftentimes they say that there's like an ice wall around, basically where we would put the South Pole. There's a big wall of ice. Kind of like at the end of the Truman Show. I don't know if you saw that movie or not, but like there's a place where you can where if you just kept going on the ocean, you'd get to this wall somewhere.
Yeah.
If you kept going south.
Well, I need to be careful not to be overly, explaining these people, because it makes it sound like I'm a secret supporter. But one of the people that I heard just said, look, there's another side to the Earth, but it's a disc. It's not round, right? So that it's sort of like you'd come on the other side of a Frisbee. That's the theory. It's really, it's just nutty. It's just it's really something.
Yes. Could I go back to last week, too, on the big news about the lake?
Please.
Sure. Do they have any idea how big that thing is or how deep it is? And could oxygen be pulled out of there for a colony?
Okay, so for those who weren't listening last Friday, we talked with astrophysicist Paul Wallace about the discovery and pretty high level of certainty that there's liquid lake on Mars below the surface. So that's what Paul from Medina is asking about.
Yes, Paul, it's roughly one in one dimension. It's about 12.5 miles or something, and I can't remember the other, but it's less than that. So it's a little bit elongated, but think about 12 miles across, maybe a few miles in the other direction. And the depth of it is not very much, not more than maybe, well, if I remember correctly, I don't have any information out in front of me right now, but my feeling was that it was quite shallow, that the liquid part is no more than, 6 to 8 feet, maybe, something like that.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So it's very wide, 12 miles or so, but not very deep, maybe, not much more than the height of a tall person.
Okay,
wow.
And then could that be somehow exploited for a human colony?
Well, it could, but the trouble is that it's about a mile under the surface of the planet. There's basically a mile of solid ice above it, so it's a subsurface lake.
Sort of the most worthless lake ever.
But it'd be easier just to use the ice on the top because the Mars has polar caps like the Earth does, but they're solid, and it'd be easier just to melt the ice on the surface than it would be to dig down.
All right, I've got a question about that if we come back here after the break. But that's astrophysicist Paul Wallace. It's Friday, so your chance to ask him a question, 952-946-6205. We'll be back here after the break. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Never seen before.
We need Richard Painter in the United States Senate. I'm Mari Pokranowski, and the former president of the DFL Feminist Caucus. Our democracy is under siege by the Trump administration. Foreign influence is unchecked as politicians exploit power for private gain rather than for public good. The corruptive influence of money in politics makes government unresponsive to the people. For 25 years, Richard Painter has been speaking out against corruption on Wall Street and in Washington. Now, we need him fighting for us in the Senate. He'll fight foreign-owned mining companies seeking to pollute our waterways. He's not taking any PAC money and will fight against money in politics and corruption on all levels of government. He'll fight to initiate investigations and hearings for the treasonous behaviors of President Trump. This is a unique candidate. Please join me in voting for Richard Painter in the DFL primary on August 14th.
I'm Richard Painter, and I approve this message.
Ad prepared and paid for by Painter Minnesota.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
This is Lori Swanson. Minnesota's a special place. As your Attorney General, I've stood up to powerful interests to keep it that way.
Lori Swanson.
From taking on drug companies that inflated prices and forcing a corporate polluter to clean up our drinking water, to taking on Donald Trump as he attacks what we value most as Minnesotans. Now I'm running for governor because there's too much at stake to let Donald Trump and the special interests push policies that hurt our state.
Swanson for governor.
As governor, I'll continue to defend health care for everyone, and I'll lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'll work to keep our kids safe in school and defend our schools against drastic cuts that jeopardize our kids' futures and our state's economy. I've been proud to be your Attorney General, and as your governor, I'll keep standing up for what's right and get things done for Minnesota.
Lori Swanson for governor.
Prepared and paid for by Swanson for Governor.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. How do you choose an automotive repair shop?
I bet you look for quality and dependability. You want someone you can trust to do the job right the first time. It saves you money and hassle because you're not coming back over and over again. My team of top-notch automotive specialists knows vehicles inside and out, and I guarantee it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Hey, welcome back. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, 450 here in the Twin Cities, August 3rd. And it's Friday, so we get to talk with an astrophysicist. You get to ask him questions. He gets to give you his input. Paul Wallace, out of the Atlanta area. Hey, astrophysicist Paul Wallace, which I just love saying.
Yes, I like you saying it too.
That's right. We talked last week about this idea of this lake on Mars, and Paul from Edina just called in and asked about it. And I want to stay on this conspiracy theory, but there was one thing that's been hanging in my craw about this that I don't understand. And that is that the reason we know that we talked about this last week, the reason we that there's not life possible on Mars is because there's no electromagnetism or no magnetic field that protects from the radiation from the sun.
Right.
So I started thinking, why doesn't that radiation melt those big ice caps on the poles? How can there be ice and all
that,
the radiation?
It's not that much. It's
enough
much.
To not cause
and,
life.
It's not enough to melt it.
I see.
You know, it's not
so it's
hot,
enough to kill human life.
Not
it's,
hot.
It's enough. It's enough to kill what we call life. Life has to be a mile below the surface, but it's not hot enough to melt the ice.
It won't melt the ice because it doesn't have a temperature. It's not like hot air or warm water that would melt it. It's basically charged protons and electrons moving very, very, very quickly.
I see. So it doesn't cause any kind of heat.
Extraordinarily quickly, and that's very bad for our DNA. It wouldn't phase ice.
The things you know, my friends, the things you know. hey, we've got a couple of we've got a number of callers. The phones have been ringing off the hook because people like to talk we're going to go to Brad from Robbinsdale. Hey, Brad, do you have a question for our favorite astrophysicist, Paul Wallace?
Yes, this is sort of a more of a philosophical question. But Ludwig Wittgenstein in the Tractatus states that Newtonian mechanics tells us nothing about the world. But what does tell us something about it is the precise way in which it is possible to describe it by these means. We are also told something about the world by the fact that it can be described more simply with one system of mechanics than with another. Mechanics is an attempt to construct according to a single plan all the true propositions that we need for the description of the world. And I was just wondering how your guest might respond to that.
The greatest question ever asked on the Drive Time show on AM 950. Thank
so
you, Brad.
The first part was that Newtonian mechanics tells us nothing about the world. Is that what you said? But it tells us that the world can be described by mathematics.
That's what I believe he said.
Yeah, I think that's what he said. He's taken his call off the air.
Got you. I would have to disagree. I think it does tell us something about the world. It might not be a simple thing, but I think it tells us something about the world. Yeah.
Okay. Did you understand the second part of the question at all? In a way, you could
ask the second part again, please.
I can't. Brad. If you can remember that second part of the question, give us a call back in because such a refined question.
Okay, I see how this is working. Yeah, I think that it actually does say something about the world, and it's sort of a can of worms. But I think that science gets us close to its. It gets us close to the world. It doesn't tell us exactly the way the world is, and it's not watertight, but I think that it does start to tell us something about how the world is put together. Yeah,
I see.
It does.
Great. Hey, we've got Brad back. Brad, did astrophysicist Paul Wallace get to that answer?
Hello? Yes.
Yeah, hey, Brad. We kind of lost the second part of your question. Do you think Paul was able to answer that for you?
Okay, well, again, I don't know how much of it you got, but again, Wittgenstein describes, mechanics or, you know, systems of looking at the world, you know, as sort of like a mesh describing, you know, again, I guess, the way we look at the world. And he describes, you know, so you might have a Copernican, science as a square mesh, and then Newtonian mechanics as a triangular mesh. You know, that might be, you know, a very fine, fine squares or whatever. But anyway, that these are just different systems for describing the world. And he then goes on at one point, says, mechanic determines one form of description of the world by saying that all propositions using the description of the world must be obtained in a given way from a given set of propositions, the axioms of mechanics. Thus, it describes the supplies the bricks for the building, the edifice of science, and says that any building that you want to erect, whatever it may be, must be somehow constructed with these big bricks and with these alone.
Oh, gotcha. So, Paul, did you sort of catch that?
Yeah, and I would say, although I've not read Wittgenstein, and I don't know the details of what he's saying, I would agree with that science is always approximation and some sort of and one that I think that over time actually does improve and get closer and closer to showing us what certain parts of reality are like. Yeah.
Yeah, and to our, you know, to our question, our topic here, that conspiracy theories kick in. There's some people who argue that most advances in science were formerly thought of as some kind of offbeat conspiracy theory. And so, how do you determine in your own mind the difference between a conspiracy theory kind of approach and just the process of science where people are starting to understand new things?
Take Einstein. I mean, if you know, the thing about Einstein is he thoroughly understood the thing he was overthrowing. Thoroughly understood it. He thoroughly understood Newtonian mechanics, Newtonian gravity. He knew exactly how Newtonian gravity worked. He was as good at it as anybody's ever been. And so I think the difference is that a conspiracy theorist does not understand the thing that they claim to be overthrowing, whereas
that is such a helpful way to think about
does.
It. That's so helpful. Hey, Greg, I know you've been holding. We have less than a minute here, but do you have a quick question or comment for Paul Wallace?
Greg. Yes, I was just sitting here thinking, my God, I've been all over the place, huh? But, you know, I have a site called theskyscholar.com. It's Professor Pierre-Marie Robitaille, and he basically says that astrophysics is going into mysticism. And
okay, I'm gonna cut you there because we just need a few seconds. Paul, any thoughts on that? Astrophysicists, you guys are really in a different discipline. You got about 10 seconds. Hey, Paul.
Well, I think we lost Paul.
Well, he's gone off into the astral plane somewhere. He's in the third ring of Jupiter. Hey, that was astrophysicist Paul Wallace and a number of great callers. Appreciate all of you listening and talking, especially for our fun Friday science conversations. A lot going on in our world. Have a great weekend. Do what you can to build it and make it great, from science to politics to our common good. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.